C-minus 84. Lake Namtso, Tibet Autonomous Region, China. The idyllic region around Namtso, one of Tibet's three holy lakes, had for the past year been feeling the strain of an unprecedented and unexpected explosion in visitor numbers. Tibet's relative physical accessibility in comparison to other key sites of alien-related interest, namely those in the far south, made Namtso a hugely popular destination despite the region's delicate diplomatic situation. A handful of appropriately gargantuan Western-style hotels had already opened following fast-track construction ordered to deal with an influx that was far too vast for the existing guest houses to accommodate, and many more were almost ready. Several hours before Thursday's sun rose over North America, its setting over Namtso signaled the end of the most frenzied day in the resort's history. Excitement over the Kerguelen Bolide was more fervorous here than anywhere, with many visitors not just hoping but expecting that something incredible would happen at any moment. Nothing incredible or even noteworthy had come to pass, but that wouldn't stop anyone emerging from their hotels the next morning with similar expectations and a fierce determination to obtain a good view. What thousands of sleeping tourists didn't know was that the lake's immediate vicinity would be under full lockdown before they had the chance. A member of one small tour group, returning to his hotel after an exhausting day-long excursion, spotted something as his bus turned a corner and its lights briefly illuminated what appeared to be a sizable group of people. "Look," he called. "What are all those guys doing?" When the bus drew to a halt, several of its passengers used their phones' flashlights to light up the area at the side of the road. They saw a large, stationary truck, with six men behind it busily placing a crowd control barrier directly across the entry point of one of the main tourist paths which led to the lake. "They can't be closing the lake without any warning," an American tourist said, quickly making his way down the aisle to get outside and ask what was going on. "My camera is at the time-lapse photography point. I need to get it." Inevitably, and despite their local interpreter's request, a handful of other tourists followed the first. The driver seemed far less concerned about this than the interpreter, and was himself gazing with great interest at the uniformed men. He opened the door and followed the tourists outside. Immediately, two of the uniformed men approached the group and firmly instructed them to stay back.
"Stay back,"
one of the men demanded in heavily accented English. To the Western tourists, he and his colleagues looked Chinese, but theirs was not the uniform of the state or local police force. It was the uniform of the GSC Security Corps.
"My camera is in there," the American tried to explain. "You know, at the place where you can leave them to get a time lapse? That cost me $20, and the camera was $400. How am I supposed to get it back if you block all of the entrances?"
"Phone down," the same GSC employee barked at another tourist.
"No photographs."
The phone-holding tourist, a young French woman, continued to move her hand in a slow sideways motion as she captured a video of what was going on.
"They are locking us out of the entire area around the lake," she narrated in English, the language of her tour. "As you can see, they are..."
"Phone down," the man repeated, firmly enough to frighten the woman and simultaneously beckon his entire group to his side.
One of his colleagues, noticeably older than the other five and apparently in command, stepped to the front.
"You must go," he said, pointing down the road in a calm and relaxed manner. "You must go now. No trouble."
The Frenchwoman held her phone steadily, defiantly, and zoomed in on the GSC badge on the commander's uniform.
"He said go," the first man snapped, losing patience and pushing his hand into the woman's phone.
She stumbled backwards, losing her balance, then fell to the ground. In the seconds before the back of her head hit the ground, her still-recording phone captured the scowling face of a GSC employee staring down at her. Immediately, the commander verbally reprimanded his foolish underling and pushed him away in anger.
However uncooperative she was being, it didn't take an expert to realize that first-person video footage of a Chinese GSC officer pushing a female Western tourist to the ground was not going to go down well with anyone. Chairman Godfrey and Chinese Premier Ding Ziyang's relationship was frosty at the best of times, and the embarrassment and trouble that this incident was sure to bring both could only test it even further. The fallen woman, dazed but not obviously injured in any serious way, slowly rose to her feet with the help of her local interpreter. The commander began speaking quickly and angrily to the interpreter as soon as he noticed the man's presence, clearly lambasting him for being stupid enough to let the tourists leave the bus. He pointed down the road again, far more forcefully than before, at which point the interpreter told his tourists that they really did have to get out of there and travel the last few hundred meters to their hotel as quickly as possible. "I still need my camera," the American tourist insisted. "I'm not going home without..." "Do you want to go home at all?" the interpreter asked, physically ushering the man back onto the bus despite his repeated protestations. The young French tourist, gingerly retaking her seat at the back of the bus, rubbed her head on the spot where it felt like a bruise was sure to develop, and then inspected the back of her phone for damage. Like her head, it was more or less fine, aside from a small mark near the top. She then turned it around and looked at the front. She navigated to her most recent video recording, tapped to select, and posted it online. By the time she reached her hotel, the footage would be everywhere.